What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Our ESPN family is grieving the loss of one of our own. Chris Mortensen died this morning at the age of 72.
He was old school. We do live in an urgent time in reporting, and that is sometimes to the detriment of the reporting, but he was certainly someone who could be a conscience on all of that.
One of the greatest reporters, not just in football history, but in sports history. There is nobody that could make me laugh and make me smile the way that Mort would. He would just deliver one joke and lighten the mood just like that.
Certainly a sad day yesterday, the passing of legendary ESPN reporter Chris Mortensen at 72 years of age. I think one thing that we have to remind people of is there was a time and there was a world before Twitter, before social media, before the internet, where you're waiting for information and news on television or radio or print. And Chris Mortensen, for me, as a kid growing up obsessed with sports, I was always excited when there were trades or free agent signings. Like, I love the transactional stuff. And when Chris Mortensen would come onto television or radio or release a story when it's just.com and no social media, oh my God, Mort put something out. You knew you were getting something that no one else had. And that information that you and your friends as sports fans were going to talk about, hey, did you hear that this team is looking into this? Or there was a trade. There wouldn't be breaking news by way of Twitter. He did this before all of the social media. And he was that trusted voice for so many of us, speaking as a fan, that if he's on the screen, if he's on air, if he's on the radio, if he's writing, it means something more.
Yeah, Chris Mortensen was the standard in so many ways for what we do in reporting, especially in the NFL. And not only that, not only did he do that, Evan, to where you would stop what you were doing anytime Chris Mortensen was on your television or put something out, but I think what's so amazing about Mort, too, is that he opened the door for other people to be able to walk through it and be the next Chris Mortensen. Mm-hmm. And after we heard the news of his unfortunate passing, you saw so many people in our industry posting things about how Chris Mortensen gave them a hand and helped pull them up. And oftentimes, when somebody is at that level of somebody at like a Chris Mortensen, you might not be doing that. We live in we work in a very competitive industry, and everybody has that grace to help others, but Chris Mortensen did. And I think that's another huge part of his legacy.
Yeah, gracious, honorable, but also there's an underlying grit there, right? I mean, this is somebody that came up the hard way, started with his local paper, then went to the National in Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Then he actually graduated to working on air with the studio shows at ESPN, and just the career trajectory, you get some insight as to the toughness that Chris Mortensen had, and then he displayed it once again with his fight with cancer and just how he's been able to handle the last several years, which were undoubtedly tough for him and his family, but still making himself available to do what he loved, but to also help the people that he was closest to and people in his professional career. I can't say enough positive things about him. As a player that came up in an era in the NFL where guys were distrustful of the media, players always felt comfortable talking to Mort. Mm. And that's because they knew that he would frame things properly. He wouldn't take things out of context to create a salacious headline. He just wasn't in the business of doing that. He was in the business of getting it right and telling the story right and doing right by the people that gave him the information, including the players. And you just don't get a lot of that, which is why so many guys reached out and had compassion and wanted to make sure that they sent thoughts and prayers when he first was diagnosed with throat cancer. So I think it speaks volumes in terms of how he did his job, the way he went about his business, the fact that you've seen so much reaction when we got the news of his passing yesterday.
ESPN NFL reporter Dan Graziano was on primetime on ESPN Radio yesterday and shared a story that he remembered most about Mort.
I liked how he would swing into action when you called him in on a story. Jordan Ronan, our Giants reporter, and I were chasing the Eli Manning retirement story, and We had it, man. Like, we were 98.9% on this story. Like, we knew it was, he was retiring. But you know, you got to get to 100. You can't leave that 1.1% hanging out there as a possibility of being wrong. And Eli wasn't getting back to either of us. And, you know, I just said to Jordan, like, I mean, he'd tell Mort. Yeah, he would tell Mort. We'd love to be able to do it without Mort. So Mort, I call up Mort, and he's like, all right, I'm going to put you guys both on a conference call. We're going to talk this out. Blah, blah. And they're like, all right, here's the plan. You call this guy, you call this guy. And then he called Eli, and then he called us back and he said, yeah, it's true. He said, I got Eli at dinner. He said, I was hoping to wait on it, but since you guys have it, go with it. And I said, all right, well, you know, we're writing it up. I said, so, you know, whose name's going on this story? And he goes, you guys did the legwork. Just throw my name at the bottom. So Mortensen contributed, and I'll be happy. And good job. And that was it. Like, he just kind of, wow. You know, he helped us get it across the finish line. And he just kind of lived for those moments of like, all right, we got breaking news. Let's break it.
So many telling things within that story by Dan Graziano about Mort, because the partnership with his teammates, mm-hmm. right? We saw that there, as well as the ability to just get Eli on the phone and confirm a story and then say, you know what? Doesn't matter. I don't need to be the top billing on it. You guys worked on, you guys did the 98.9. I did the 1.1. The 1.1 was huge. He didn't need to be top billing. And what he's done as a mentor, you know, Adam Schefter has 10.8 million Twitter followers, okay? 10.8 million. How many of them realize for the last however many years, the avatar for Adam Schefter, who will be on with us exactly this time tomorrow, is a picture of Shefty and Mort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way. It was the ultimate handoff, right? Mort saying, here's someone else who's phenomenal at what I do as well as what I do, right? The same kind of industry, job, whatever it is. There's no versus. There's just an and. Mort and Schefter, right? He never looked at it as a versus. And I think that Mort would love to hear what Adam Schefter has to say on our show right now about what's going on in the NFL. And so much of the NFL, as CC has said, revolves around the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields and the number one pick. And Schefter gave an update on NFL Live as to what is the latest around Justin Fields.
I don't think the market is quite as robust as the Bears and Justin Fields would like it to be. There's been a lot of speculation on Atlanta. I think Atlanta would be something of a surprise right now to trade for Justin Fields. There's been some conversation about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe something could be figured out there. The Las Vegas Raiders might have some interest. But there's not this huge number of teams lined up to trade for Justin Fields as the Bears look to find a home for him before free agency begins in about 10 days.
So let's try to connect some dots here, okay? So if you've been listening to our show all morning, thank you. Mike Tannenbaum joined us, and he discussed the idea that he believes that J.J. McCarthy from Michigan has worked his way into potentially being a top five pick in the draft. We know he's not going 1, 2, or 3. Arizona has 4. The Chargers have 5. Those two teams are not going to take him. This all ties back together. If Caleb Williams goes 1, which he's going to, and we think now Kirk Cousins could leave maybe Minnesota to go to Atlanta, does Minnesota potentially trade up to get J.J. McCarthy? Are they interested in Justin Fields? Is the market for Fields cool? Where are you at, CC, in terms of all the information we have gathered this morning? Because it's a lot about the quarterback market.
I don't know why I can't see Justin Fields in a Vikings uniform. I guess because the Vikings are in the NFC North, and if you're the Bears, that is the ultimate disrespect to trade a player that you drafted with a first-round pick within the division, because that means you're not afraid of him. But that being said, I do think a part of what we're hearing around Justin Fields from the combine is a little bit of what happens this year in terms of people not necessarily wanting to tip their hand in terms of what they're thinking at the quarterback spot. I think a lot of it is posturing, because you don't want to pay the Chicago Bears asking price for Justin Fields and then be in a position where you then have to pay Justin Fields literally. Like, think about it. If the Chicago Bears are pushing for a first-round pick, you would like for the Bears to think that there's not much of a market for Justin Fields. Depress that as much as you can, so what you have to give up in the way of draft capital isn't as significant as the Bears would be hoping for. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much of this is real, how much of this is smoke, how much of this is lying season versus how much of this is just the seats being filled up in terms of starting quarterback roles in the NFL and Justin Fields not necessarily having one when the music stops.
If you're the Bears, do you have an even more increased sense of urgency to get this thing done? Are you trying to work the phones as much as possible and get this thing done ASAP?
Well, they've told us that they want to get it done. Ryan Poles, their general manager, says he wants to do right by Fields, and ideally this would be done before the start of the new league year because that's also the start of free agency, right? So once quarterbacks start going other places, then that means there are less opportunities for Justin Fields. And from the Bears' standpoint, you have less leverage because there are less suitors for Justin Fields. So it makes sense for all parties involved to get a deal done sooner rather than later. And if we've learned anything from Ryan Poles, we see like right around the end of the combine is when he likes to make some moves. I would not be surprised at all if we wake up on Friday morning and Justin Fields has been traded to another team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. If I'm the Bears, I'm trying to act with the quickness here. And as we have the conversations about the market maybe dwindling or it shrinking a little bit for Justin Fields, I go back to what you said during the season about them trading him when it felt like his value was really high during the season. And I wonder if they regret that. I wonder if they regret hanging on to him to this point. If they should have, if maybe they would have been able to extract more value for him midseason.
Well, I guess my whole point was the inevitability of them taking a quarterback at the top of this year's draft. A quarterback rich draft, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. We knew the Bears were going to move off of Justin Fields. Like, you couldn't justify the opportunity cost of passing on yet another crop of quarterbacks, especially after you passed on the potentially drafting CJ Stroud. We see how good he is with the Texans. So it only made sense. And so I think the rest of the league is acknowledging that too. You're not in a – you can't have a scenario where Fields and Williams can coexist together. You have to trade Justin Fields. And when you have to do something and the rest of the league knows it, then it makes it harder for you to extract maximum value for that player. But what I think the rest of the league is telling us to some degree is that the conversation around what the Bears should do and – you know, potentially keeping Fields and trading off of the number one overall pick and getting a lot of other picks and drafting position players as opposed to a quarterback this year was nonsense. Like, it's nonsense. The rest of the league is telling you that the Chicago Bears can do better in the draft, whether it's Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, or Drake May, than staying with Justin Fields. That's what the rest of the league is saying. They're saying that Justin Fields is not as good as Kirk Cousins.
And they're right. Well, I mean, we know
because
that.
Kirk Cousins is the first domino that has to fall in order for the quarterback carousel to start spinning. Kirk Cousins is the first one. You know why? Because he's the best option from a veteran standpoint for all of these other teams. So that's what they're saying. If you're saying that Kirk Cousins is better than Justin Fields, then how in the world can you justify passing on a quarterback with the number one overall pick? You can't, which is why the Bears won't.
Franchise tag deadline is tomorrow. The legal tampering period starts 1 week from today. So if Justin Fields is traded this week, it's to one of two places. Either to a team that knows they cannot get Kirk Cousins or a team that's going to put him in competition with someone else. Because if you're Atlanta and you're Pittsburgh, let's say, or any other team that could be in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, you can't make the move for Justin Fields right now.
I disagree with that. I think Pittsburgh could.
Get Kirk Cousins?
No.
I'm saying
Pittsburgh could trade for Justin Fields and have him in competition with Kenny Pickett.
Yes, but that means that I'm just saying if Pittsburgh is even thinking for 1 second about Kirk Cousins, you have to wait. And maybe they're not. Maybe they're not thinking about it. You put Kirk Cousins on Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin on that defense?
If you get Kirk Cousins, then Mike Tomlin wouldn't be true to his word in saying that Kenny Pickett is going to have an opportunity to compete for the starting job.
Yeah.
If you sign Kirk Cousins, that's gone.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
He's the quarterback.
Well, then Pickett versus Fields makes sense, and that could get done this week.
Yes.
It's hard to imagine, as we sit here today, if we believe Cousins could go to Atlanta, it's hard to imagine that Fields has an option to go to Atlanta. Right, so one of the teams out there that he could compete with is where he could go this week. Not anybody that would be in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. All right, there's more on this because Mike Tannenbaum had some unbelievable things to say about the way that this draft could go and the QB carousel. We will get to that coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You ready for this? Is everybody ready for this?
What?
Mike Tannenbaum joined our show and dropped nugget after nugget after nugget that is so juicy that we just have to run through these, because literally the three of us were sitting there when he joined us, jaw dropped. I'm sorry, what? Like, there was like at least three or four I'm sorry what's from Mike Tannenbaum. You ready? Here we go. We're going to go one by one. Kirk Cousins, next destination per Mike?
I think it'll be a Falcon, you know, and I think when you just kind of look at like the every day we get closer to next week, guys, like the deal isn't done, and you start connecting the dots that Atlanta desperately needs a quarterback. Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins were together in Washington. Everyone knows all the information by now. If he was going to re-sign with Minnesota, every day it doesn't get done, he gets closer to being a Falcon.
But wait, there's more. If Kirk Cousins is a Falcon, Minnesota does what? Maybe they could get J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. Where will he go, Mike?
Without question, in my mind, like to me, like the draft, like at five with the Chargers, like I think the Chargers definitely could trade out. And I think based on the way he worked out, and in fact, how well he played in his career, I think I'm hard-pressed to see J.J. McCarthy getting past five. I think if the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, I could see either Atlanta at eight or Minnesota at 11 moving up for him.
Well, if Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta, the Vikings move up to get J.J. McCarthy. How many QBs, maybe six, go in the first half of the draft?
I think there's six quarterbacks that go in the first half of the first round, top 16. So I think Michael Penix and Bo Nix will both, you know, there's this, it's so interesting to me. Like, I think the draft starts at three. What is New England's evaluation of Mac Jones? But then you get into this other clump of New Orleans, Denver, Minnesota, assuming they lose Kirk Cousins. Even like this, like, there's just a couple other teams there that I think are going to say, hey, if we could get Michael Penix or Bo Nix. I do think six go in the first 16.
Okay.
Wow. Six quarterbacks in the first half of the NFL draft. The first half of the first round in the NFL draft.
Yes.
That is insane.
Which then automatically means that if another team loves another guy or wants to ensure that they have a quarterback, there is always the chance of a seventh in the back half. I don't know who that would be, but I'm saying there's always that chance. So let's try to digest this as
That's
best as we can.
Yeah.
Okay? Caleb Williams going one. What he's saying is, sure, there's a chance of New England trading out of three. It seems like Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals at four, if he's available, is going to happen. As long as they're going to keep Kyler Murray, that makes sense. Okay, so five is what he's saying, maybe, with the Chargers. Minnesota has the 11th pick in the draft. What do you need to go from 11 to 5 if you are Minnesota to get to the Chargers pick? Do you need to have next year's first?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the Chargers drop down six spots. More likely than not, they still end up with one of the big offensive linemen if they want at the 11th pick in the draft. Minnesota then goes five. So now as we're following Mike's logic here, we have Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. We have, in this specific case, we have J.J. McCarthy five overall to Minnesota.
That is rich. Ooh. My God, that is rich for J.J. McCarthy.
And then, what does that mean for Justin Fields? Let's assume possibly he goes to Pittsburgh for a second rounder. Does that make sense? third rounder now? Maybe the price has dropped a little bit.
I can see a second rounder. Yeah, I think the Bears still end up getting a second rounder for Fields.
Okay, so now what we have to look at is what happens with Denver. So 12, 13, and 14, Denver, the Raiders, and the Saints, all teams that we've kind of circled as potentially Saints drafting a quarterback when they want one, not when they need one as much. The Broncos and Raiders need one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now are we going to assume that that is where Dan Orlovsky over the weekend put out there, Bo Nix to the Broncos is what he was thinking. Well, that would make sense at 12. Michael Penix Jr. to the Raiders? I don't know. Maybe Antonio Pierce listens to his former teammate Chris Canty hyping up Michael Penix and goes with him at 13?
Raiders sound like they're trying to get into that top three. The Raiders sound like they want to get aggressive. But, yeah, I do think that we'll see five quarterbacks go in the first round. I didn't think that we would see that many go in the top half of the first round. I guess that's the part that's so jarring to me when you hear what Mike Tannenbaum's take on this whole situation was. I was just texting with somebody, a Hall of Famer that was at the Combine and that saw J.J. McCarthy's work and basically said there's a reason why they didn't throw the football as much as you see other quarterbacks in college football throw the football. J.J. McCarthy is not an accurate thrower of the football.
Oh.
He's just not. So, I mean, there's a lot of work. And if you're not accurate throwing the football in the NFL, that's a problem. So to take a guy in the top half of the first round that isn't ready to play day one, that just seems very, very rich. And I get it. It's a quarterback-driven league. And because the need is so great, a lot of these guys are going to get driven up the draft charts. But I just – to take J.J. McCarthy with a top five, top ten pick, that just seems – that seems very, very rich at this point.
But especially coming off last season, this is always a quarterback needy league. Yep. But it feels like the desperation level has reached new heights with some of these teams.
Yes.
Coming off last season.
Yes.
They do not want to be put in a position where they don't have a guy. If this is musical chairs, they're going to go for it. It feels like this is a year that people are maybe willing to take a big swing and invest more in their quarterback. I always just kind of assumed J.J. McCarthy is a guy that would go to Denver. Like, pairing him with Sean Payton, somebody that could really help him grow and build an offensive scheme around him, I always thought that that would be a really good fit.
Mm-hmm.
But, gosh, it does seem like there may be more quarterbacks than we anticipate going in the first round and that there may be surprise teams that we didn't anticipate getting being in a position to move up.
So, yeah, a team that we didn't even talk about, the New York Giants.
Yes.
But they're a team that's been rumored to be interested in moving up into the top three. So, I mean, if one of these quarterbacks slides down the board, who's to say that the New York Giants wouldn't be in on taking a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May or, you know, potentially in the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes? If what Mike Tannenbaum is saying is true to form, then a lot of these teams are going to reach for quarterbacks, and that's going to drastically alter what we expect to see for the draft. And I will say this, if you're a team that fancies yourself as a contender, like, this is a great year not to need a quarterback. Because all of those position players are going to get pushed down to you, and you're going to find tremendous amount of value. We know that this is a deep wide receiver class. This is a deep offensive line class. And so if you're in a position where you've got a quarterback, if you've got that question answered, then you're going to get some damn good football players to choose from when you're on the clock.
And you know I've been saying that I think there's going to be a team that trades down multiple times in the first round. The Chargers have now become the logical team. Based on what Mike said, they already have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have their head coach. There's no job security issues with either one of those guys, with Herbert and Harbaugh, that if everyone wants to move up for quarterbacks, you don't need one. Stockpile, right? You're going to have to lose some of your defenders because of salary cap reasons. Stockpile extra picks and replace them that way. But there is a quick little exercise. How many teams do we believe by May 1st have to have, for their fan purposes, a new starting quarterback? Like, they have to go out and get someone. We're talking about the Bears, right? Chicago, Washington, New England.
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Denver.
Denver, for sure.
The Raiders.
Yes.
I would definitely put them in there.
I think those are the Steelers do not, based on what we've heard here. They do not have to have someone new.
Did we say the Patriots?
Yeah. Chicago, Washington, New England, Atlanta, Denver, Las Vegas.
All right.
Because the other ones are the ones that we think should go out there. Giants maybe should go out there and get somebody to compete with Jones. Steelers get out, go out there and get somebody to compete with Pickett.
The Jets should go get somebody.
The Jets, well, they're not going to have a new starting quarterback,
no,
but a new quarterback
in general.
They should
get somebody to be waiting in the wings.
Agreed. The Saints and the Seahawks, maybe an additional guy to compete. But Chicago, Washington, New England, Atlanta, Denver, and Vegas, that is exactly six.
Oh, wow.
Six teams need new quarterbacks, and we're saying there could be six first-round quarterbacks. That doesn't mean that they would all draft them. That means that they have to find their new quarterbacks. Boy, this draft is juicy. Based on all the combine information, we're looking at one of the great offensive drafts of all time. That doesn't mean they're going to produce to be that, but going in with all of the numbers that we've seen out of the combine, everyone loves this draft offensively. Coming up, all the
small things
next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for all the small things here on ESPN Radio and Sportsmanlike. I'm Michelle Smallman alongside Evan Cohen and Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. I'm just going to give you a couple thoughts, a couple notes that I saw over the weekend, and we'll discuss them. First things first, guys, we keep talking about the Bears and the number one overall pick, obviously, and we keep writing Caleb Williams in Sharpie. Caleb Williams to the Bears. Are we sure that's the route that they're going to go? Are we sure that he's the best option for them?
I'd go tattoo more than Sharpie. That's how confident
tattoo.
I'm saying whatever you think is more permanent than a Sharpie, that's how confident I am that the Bears are going to take him number one overall.
Tattoo.
Well, what's more permanent than Sharpie?
A brand?
You want me to brand him?
Branded. Caleb Williams branded.
I'm not going to do that.
The brand. Caleb Williams.
You want a Bears brand.
Caleb Williams branded on the Chicago Bears. Branded. It's going to happen.
A little CW
branding. Branding. Go ahead and make him a Jordan athlete because he's going to Chicago. Like, he's going to be touted as the savior. This is the guy we've been talking about the last couple of years as the presumptive number one overall pick. There's no way the Chicago Bears could do anything different at the top of this year's draft.
Okay, so I know you guys discussed this while I was out of town on Thursday and Friday about Dan Orlovsky suggesting maybe Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this draft and that the Bears should select him number one. Well, let's add another voice to that growing sentiment. Joe Theismann, former NFL MVP, joined primetime here on ESPN Radio, and here's what he said about Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, he's a very, very, very strong prospect to be the number one player taken. I know everybody's talked about Caleb, but, you know, as I've evaluated and looked at these different guys and been thinking about it a lot, I think Jaden moves to the top of the list.
So what do we think? Jaden Daniels, number one overall.
I think the part that people get intrigued by with Jaden Daniels is not only the athleticism, but you see him play within the structure of the offense much more frequently than you see from Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, you turn on the tape, it looks like backyard football. Jaden Daniels, you can actually see him processing the information, going through his reads, and getting the football to the open guy. And because he's doing that so consistently and he's having so much production, I think those are things that translates to the pro game much more than a lot of the off-schedule, off-script stuff that Caleb Williams does. Now, it's not to say that Caleb Williams can't play within the structure of the offense. It's not to say that Caleb Williams can't process information, because we know he can. He went from the offense at Oklahoma to the offense at USC, and different players, different personnel, different defenses that he's facing in the respective conferences. But I think because you've seen it more consistently from Jaden Daniels, and because it seems like it's more innate within Jaden Daniels, I think that's what has some people in the NFL ranks leaning toward Jaden Daniels being the best quarterback in his class, although I would disagree.
So I'm not of the belief that because we've thought about something for years prior that we should just assume it's true moving forward.
Right.
I will answer your question with a question. What has changed for Caleb Williams that for the last 3 years we thought he'd be the number one overall pick this year? And why would he not be? What has he done to, like, I understand Jaden Daniels really good and Drake May is really good, but, like, this is the guy that we've all thought was targeted for this moment, this year, at this time. What has he done wrong to not earn that? Okay, so then what are we talking about?
I mean, the only knock I have on Caleb Williams' game is that he fumbles too much. It's the only knock I have on him. He fumbles the ball too much. But other than that, I mean, he's an outstanding prospect. He's A-plus in everything that you need him to do.
And a lot of people aren't high on him in terms of the way he acts and his personality.
Right.
I thought he came off great this weekend.
You know what? People said that same thing about Justin Herbert, too. He's too much of an introvert to be a franchise quarterback. He doesn't grab players by the, you know, grab a team by the throat. He doesn't have those leadership qualities. Justin Herbert is a damn good quarterback, top five quarterback in our league.
And guys lead in different ways.
Exactly. I mean, leadership comes in different forms, different shapes.
You might be not demonstrative and a yeller, but that doesn't mean you're not a leader.
Miss me with all of that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't know the guy, but Caleb Williams, to me, came off pretty well this weekend, I thought, and like doing nothing, but he still came off well, I thought.
I just didn't know if maybe there could be a surprise at the top of the draft, so I wanted to float that out to you guys. But okay. Where there's no surprises in college basketball, who's the GOAT currently, and at the top of the record books, and that's Caitlin Clark, who passed Pete Maravich for the most points scored by a Division I basketball player, men's or women's. It was, like most Iowa games when Caitlin Clark was playing, a very, very hot ticket. You saw all the stars out. Travis Scott pulled up to see history in action. But my favorite part of this day, outside of her obviously getting the record, was with our Al Duncan on College Game Day here on ESPN with a surprise for Caitlin Clark. Her favorite player growing up was the legend Maya Moore, UConn, Minnesota Lynx, and she surprised Caitlin Clark on her big day.
Full circle it does, because we wanted to make your dream come true. You've made so many dreams come true. State Farm knew it had been some time since you'd seen Maya, and like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Maya Moore.
Oh, my gosh. Hey,
oh, my God. Good to see you. How are you?
It was like a man playing so hard. Oh, my God.
Very cool.
You can see just how shocked she is and how appreciative she is to be in Maya Moore's presence. And I wanted to throw that out to you guys. If you were having a big moment in your career and someone that you admired or you looked up to could be there to celebrate you, who would you want it to be? Like, Evan, would it be Bill Belichick for you?
It'd be odd if Belichick just showed up for me, but
question.
Wait, had they ever met before?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they had.
I don't think they had. Because I don't know if her reaction would have been like that.
She's a huge Maya Moore fan.
Loves her growing
up. This is where I want to answer that question, but this is where I get confused. Sometimes you assume people at a level of celebrity just meet whoever they want to meet. Like, was it true that Nikola Jokic and Djokovic had never met before this weekend? They're both Serbian superstar athletes. They met for the first time at a Lakers game. Is that possible?
I think so.
So I'm just, obviously I'm wrong to assume if you're really famous and really rich, you can meet whoever you want to meet. Yes, if Belichick all of a sudden walked in here and said, hey, great job, great show today, that'd be awesome.
Is that who you'd pick over Tom Brady or Udonis Haslam, who called you Owen?
You just add that?
Yeah, I just didn't know if there was somebody else.
I kind of had it. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, tell us.
Well, you guys were there. Our very first show, two of my close friends all of a sudden showed up to Bristol. John Martin, Jeremy Morgan Spells from West Palm just showed up. And I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing here to support us? So I kind of had it. They're not famous, but I kind of had that.
Yeah, I meant more like someone that you looked up to growing up who was like your person. Like for me, it's Mia Hamm. Like if I ever had Mia Hamm show up at something and she was like, hey, I love your work, I think my soul would leave my body.
Yeah, it actually happened to me when I was working for this company. I was doing Get Up one day with Mike Greenberg, and Magic Johnson is getting ready to walk on the set. And he says, hey, what's up, Kenny? Congratulations on getting engaged. And I said, wait a minute. Magic Johnson not only knows who I am, but he knows I just got engaged. It was the ultimate fanboy moment. I don't even know what I said in the moment.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so cool, and I ran back home to tell my wife, like, baby, Magic Johnson knows who I am. And he said, congratulations on our engagement. It was unbelievable. I grew up, you know, with Magic Johnson as one of my biggest sports heroes. It was him and it was Reggie White. Those were my two biggest sports heroes. Yeah. And to have Magic Johnson actually know who I was and shake my hand and congratulate me on getting engaged, I thought that was like bucket list moment.
That's awesome.
Lifetime achievement unlocked. Like, it was one of those deals. Pretty cool.
That's really cool.
I have like 75 follow-ups. How did he know you were engaged? Did you talk about it on the air? Do you think somebody tipped him off?
Greeny talked about it on the air. It was one of the shows that we had done in weeks prior. But
so he was watching, retained the information.
He was watching Get Up one day,
right?
Saw it.
Wow.
And then when he saw me weeks later, was like, hey, congratulations.
That's so cool.
That's better than my J. Mark J&P story that I just told. All right, anyway.
It's unbelievable, man.
You had Magic Johnson. Wow.
Magic Johnson. And I feel like Magic would be the answer for a lot of people.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, yeah, but not everybody has what you just have.
Yeah.
Not everybody has what you just had as part of it. Yeah, we'd like it. You had it. You had
really
Magic
cool.
Johnson.
Really cool.
So the wedding was a letdown because it wasn't Magic. It was like, all right, well, Magic congratulated me.
I was like, I asked my wife, like, is it a bridge too far to invite him to the wedding?
Like, shut up.
Invite Magic Johnson.
He probably
would have
sent you a great gift.
Right? It was such a fail by me
you
not doing it.
You should have invited him.
Wait a minute.
You should have invited him.
I should have done it. But it is like, if I invite Magic, then who else do I have to invite?
Charles Barkley. He loves your work.
No. Yeah, I'm saying like people at the company that I actually see every day, I would have to invite them too.
I don't know.
Nobody.
If you invite Magic and not me, I'm not upset.
There's levels to this.
I'm not upset.
It's okay if you invite Magic and don't invite Greeny.
Totally.
It's okay.
Totally. I think a lot of people would be okay with it.
Now I'm actually turning this into a negative. You did the wrong thing. You should have invited Magic.
I know I did. I messed up. I panicked. It was Magic Johnson. I panicked. What do you want from me? It's Magic Johnson.
Well, as Frenchie Montana says, don't panic. Huh? That was good.
Was it good? Yeah, that was a fan.
Anything else for small things?
If you have to say it was good, then it probably wasn't.
We're out of time, but I wanted to talk about how crazy skiing is. Like, I just got back from a ski trip, and there was a moment where I was going up the lift where I was like, this is so dangerous.
Oh,
like,
I want to hear all about it. We got to continue all of the small things. After the break.
And there's also one other thing, because a press conference later today with Jason Kelce, so we will discuss that. But first, we're going to discuss True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without the snow and you're not going to break the bank, well, True Green is the place to go. You can elevate your lawn game and not break the bank. True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. I'm one of them. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy TrueGreen's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn price for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Jason Kelce has just put out a tweet at Jason Kelce, of course, of the Eagles. No keg videos this year. I have come to a decision and will address it at a press conference this afternoon. That means what? Retirement?
Yeah, I think he's shutting it down.
Yeah, I don't think you have a press conference to announce that you're returning back to the NFL.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think that's the case. Plus, I mean, just think about the leadership drain from the Philadelphia Eagles. The word out of the combine is that they're anticipating that Fletcher Cox is going to retire at some point this offseason. So now a lot of leadership, especially along the offensive and defensive line, is about to walk out of the building. That puts a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts, but also a ton of pressure on Nick Sirianni. And that was somebody that was on the hot seat as the season was coming to an end. So I know we want to make this about Jason Kelce, and we should, because, you know, for my money, it's a Hall of Fame career. But, I mean, I just can't help but think about what that means for the prospects of the Philadelphia Eagles this upcoming season.
Yeah, they have a lot of pressure on them. And you're right, with that leadership drain potentially happening there, even more pressure on Jalen Hurts to prove that he's the guy.
All right, I'm going to give you three scenarios. You pick which one is juiciest for you guys going into next season with Jason Kelce. Scenario one, retires. Because it could be sitting next to us, right? Broadcast, who knows, right? Scenario two, comes back to play for the Eagles. Scenario three, he says, you know, I'd like to finish out 1 year and play with my brother. I'm going to go to Kansas City for a year.
Well, that's
no, I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to – listen, very few guys have the opportunity – I guess very few guys have the opportunity to play with their brother. But to start your career and finish your career with one team, especially as long as Jason Kelce played, like I just don't know that I would want to ruin that in any way by going to ring chase with the Chiefs. I mean – the ring that they got in 2017 against all odds with their backup quarterback and Jason Kelce being at the heart of that, I mean, they can never take that away from him. Got seven Pro Bowlers, six-time All-Pro. I mean, this is – I mean, it's about as good a career as you could actually ask for in the NFL.
You'd rather go out a little bit early than stay a little too late, right? So I think that this is probably a good time for him. But those scenarios that you just outlined, you said, what's the juiciest scenario? Yeah. And I think the juiciest one is option number three for him to go play with Travis, even though I don't think that's likely.
No, and there's no rumors of that. I'm just kind of throwing that out there.
I do think he's going to join the Philadelphia Eagles organization. I do think they're going to give him a job in the front office.
Just a representative.
Doesn't matter. I don't care what the title is. He's got to be in my front office.
Yeah.
But he said he wanted to work with the Eagles long term. Like, he's not leaving the NFL, even if he decides that he's going to retire from playing. So I just think if you're their owner, if you're Jeffrey Lurie, you got to make that happen.
No doubt.
You know, I don't care what Howie Roseman thinks or what Howie Roseman wants. Jason Kelce is going to be a part of our franchise moving forward.
You're a better organization if he's affiliated or in the building.
No doubt
somehow.
About it. No doubt about it.
Can I give an option four, though?
Of course.
I would love to see Jason Kelce do kind of an Anthony Bourdain travel show where he just goes around to different fan bases and parties. Like finding the best.
I would love that too.
Finding the best parties in sports and having Jason Kelce be the arbiter of partying. I would love that.
I would love that, too. Not sure how the Duchess of Delco would feel about that, though. That would
Kylie be his Kelce, wife.
Yeah, I don't know how
queen.
She'd feel about that.
I don't know how she would feel about it either, but maybe she realizes that we as America need it, and so she's okay with it. Him just going out.
Good idea.
I don't know. She wasn't okay with him being shirtless in Buffalo.
But then he followed it up with the great performance at the Super Bowl with the mask. Yeah, you know. It's not like he I would watch the hell out of that. I think he's so fun and he's so dynamic. I think he's perfect for a show like that.
All right, so you get a choice then. One Kelce reality show. Travis and Taylor.
No, pass.
Really?
So no, that doesn't
Jason
interest me
partying with fan bases, sports fan bases, more interesting?
He was partying with Bills Mafia, drinking out of a bowling ball. He was shirtless, hanging out of the suite, picking up little girls to show them to Taylor Swift, slamming beers, having the time of his life.
Yeah, I think you'll get behind the curtain with Jason Kelce a little bit easier and a little more often than you would with Travis and Taylor.
He's more relatable.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Just throwing it out there.
Now, with going skiing in Montana, is that something Jason Kelce would do?
Well, he's a professional athlete. I'm sure he could ski. I'm sure he's a great skier.
Is he better at skiing than you would be, presumptively?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, I'm okay. I'm not great. I am.
You didn't hurt yourself.
I did not hurt myself.
You didn't come in here with a limp this morning.
But guys,
what a shock. What a shock that actually is.
I'm telling you, I had a moment. You know, when you're younger, you just do things and you don't really think twice about the danger that could potentially be involved with it. That's skiing for me. I didn't start skiing until I was in college. And I'm okay. I'm a medium range skier. But I was in Montana skiing over the weekend, and I'm going up the chairlift, and it was snowing so bad that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And I thought to myself, who do you think you are? You're going up a mountain with blades essentially strapped to your feet, and you're going to plummet down a mountain, and you can't see in front of your face. Like, I pride myself on having self-awareness, and that moment I was like, who do you think you you off. Like, that was the least self-aware I've ever been in my life, to think that I would be able to get out of there unscathed. I was able to, but I was just like, wow, this is crazy dangerous.
Is there no way you could just ride the lift back down the mountain?
You can.
That's what I would have done. I was like, you know, who do I think I am? Not doing this, not going to hurt myself. Turn around, let's go right back. Let me stop with the whole Yellowstone fantasy. I'm not doing that. Like, that's what I would have done in the moment.
I survived. I did well, actually.
You did well. Okay.
We ended up taking a blue down that we had to take a black diamond in between, which is the hardest.
Oh my God.
What, are you a professional?
I'm a sneaky athletic, Evan. You could do it too. You guys could do it too.
No, we couldn't do it. I'm not even going to try to do it.
Yes, you could. You absolutely could.
No, but
I had a moment being like, this is a very expensive, labor-intensive activity, because you have to put on the gear and carry the gear, and there's layers. And you're climbing up a mountain to propel yourself down it.
It's kind of crazy. I don't get the whole skiing thing. I have no interest, like no urge whatsoever to ski. There's no part of me that's like, oh, that sounds like so much fun.
It's got
to
be beautiful, though.
It's beautiful, and it's fun. It's very fun.
Like, I understand. She went with friends, and they had a great time. And they had a house, and they did like a great friend vacation.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. That sounds relatable. That sounds like, okay, I can see that. The skiing part, I'm out.
Why does it sound like it wouldn't be enjoyable? The only reason I'm against it is because it's dangerous. Getting it in your socks?
Well, no, you don't get it in your socks.
You might have had the wrong gear, maybe.
You might have had the
wrong
gear.
You wear the leggings under your snow pants. You pull up the socks. There's a piece in your pants that goes over the boots. You're fine.
Yeah, like going downhill fast is something that we've all enjoyed even when we were kids. Like riding bikes or roller skating down a hill was always cooler, right? So, I mean, skiing is just an extension of that. It's just you got a much prettier backdrop. It makes sense in terms of why you would want to do it and how it could be a rush and how it could be fun. I wouldn't want to have me skiing lead to another surgery. I've had 2 dozen of them. I don't need any more. So I'm under the impression that if I were to go out there and skiing, I would hurt myself in the worst way, which is why I'm not doing it.
I don't think you would. I'm not doing it, but
I don't want to risk it, Smalls. I don't think the reward is not worth the risk in my mind.
You know what? You'll meet us at
Opera Ski. In my mind.
You can meet us at Opera Ski for a cocktail on the mountain afterwards.
There you go. That's me. I'm waiting at the cabin with a cocktail.
We're
on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.